Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Hello, Jenna. How are you?
Lorena. I'm good. I'm good, good, good.
We are talking about Moby's memoir today, and I'm very intrigued because it's been the subject of controversy recently, hasn't it?
I know. One of my guilty pleasures is the Daily Mail, and I saw it pop up in there, and I was like, uh-oh. That was after
I'd
read it.
After you had read it, yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah. I have to say, Moby's first autobiography, Porcelain, is incredible. It's one of the most compelling and surprising music memoirs I've read in ever. And I reviewed it on BFM a few years ago. And that was set from the early 90s until 1999, when he's writing the first songs for Play. So that's set in New York, and it's super grungy, and he's really broke, and he lives in this abandoned warehouse with no running water. But the way that that Porcelain is structured, things get revealed over time, and that really changes how you think about him. So this is when Then It Fell Apart starts. So that starts when Play starts coming out. So he's touring it because I think he did a really little tour. It was out for about 6 months or something before it became really big. And then it just really, really blew up.
Yeah.
So he was just doing this scrungy little tour.
Right.
So you must have been pretty excited for this book.
I was.
You were like, oh, that other one was so good.
So good. Yeah. And he has quite an endearing writing style. It's like quite simplified. And one thing he does, which he repeats in this book as well, is that he calls himself Moby all the time. And if someone walks
He's talking to himself in a third person.
Well, no, it's kind of like he always talks about characters he meets.
Right.
And he'll say, and then I walked into the room and they said, hey, Moby. Oh. And I said, hey, you know, it's just like, but it's
kind of endearing.
But maybe by this one it got kind of annoying. But one word in my mind while reading this book, feral.
Feral. Oh my God.
And it really reminds me of Motley Crue's The Dirt, which I never thought I'd say about a book by Moby, because he's quite straight in Porcelain. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, but in the very not straight edge, and he's a raging alcoholic and taking every single drug that he could. Yeah. And, I can understand the way that he is in this book, because he's kind of like this Peter Pan figure, and he's so desperate for acceptance. He had this very poor upbringing with his and solo mum, but he somehow always had quite wealthier friends and always felt like he had to keep up with them.
Yep.
He's so desperate for positive reinforcement, and I feel like that is in this book, because here, which is maybe the thing about music memoirs where they can go a bit wrong, is it's really name-droppy.
Right.
But I guess for him, he's coming from the angle of, I don't belong in this place, and here I am at David Bowie's house. He's invited me over for dinner. And in the eyes of current record sales, I'm in this, and property, you know, living across the road from David Bowie, I'm on the same, level, but he never felt like it.
Yeah.
He's also a raging sex addict, he can't commit to any woman, but he's just constantly trying to, you know, having sex with lots of people and lots of orgies and every single, like, bodily fluid or...
I'm getting where feral comes from.
Wow, yeah. I see what you mean.
And so it's, like, that's quite wild. Yeah. And then, of course, I'm not sure if listeners will know. I mean, I guess it was pretty, trended on Twitter and stuff, was that Natalie Portman has come out after the book come out, because he details a relationship with them, which was pretty tame.
Wait, so he details a relationship with Natalie Portman in the book?
Yeah. So from his point of view, say that when he was touring Play, she stood out of the stand. He says that she was 20, but she saw if he's basically that I was 18 at the time, and he was in his 30s. And I'm not forgiving him for that, but again, I think it's that Peter Pan thing. He doesn't see himself as an older man, even now as like a 50-year-old man. He's just so childish.
Yeah.
And that doesn't forgive the behaviour, but I just think that shows how unaware he is.
Oh,
and
my God,
Natalie...
So she came out and said...
She said what he wrote was... because he calls her his girlfriend, and she's like, I wasn't his girlfriend. And he details this night where they slept in her, like, dorm room bed, and it's like...
Ugh. So she had no warning of this coming out.
No.
See, I feel like that's all that stuff's awful. But then also the fact that like just gets you could
chucked out in the public. Yeah,
I mean, know. And that's basic fact checking stuff, and that's more to the publisher than actually the author.
Right, because yeah, actually, you don't think of it. I didn't think about that.
You know, like even I know Shane Carter's autobiography is out and it's been reviewed on here, and so Kieran read a proof, and then in between that, a bunch of stuff got redacted out of it because. Fact checked or sort of like, is this too personal about someone else to put it? Yeah. So it's quite an interesting part of that memoir stage, and also because he's so wasted all the time, how does he remember
this?
So
who was the publisher?
This is Faber. It's a really great publisher. Yeah. I'm not begging on Faber. They've gone a bit silent on this, and also Moby has as well. But you know, I don't know. I was feeling quite sorry for him, I must say. But maybe I'm, you know, women are sort of inclined to feel sorry for men in this situation initially.
Conditioning.
And the thing, because, you know, he's like, I'm little, I'm bald, you know, woe is me. And the thing is that I was listening to I don't know if you guys listen to the High Low podcast. It's kind of annoying, but it's quite chatty. It's quite good to listen to while you're working. And they were talking about how, so everything came out, he stepped back, but what he's done on his Instagram page is put up this post saying, while you're here, these are all the causes that I support, because he's such a rampant vegan and animal rights activist, which is
great stuff. Yeah,
but it's that typical annoying thing of like the nice woke guy.
Don't worry, guys. I'm just a nice guy.
I'm just a nice guy.
Just out here twiddling my fedora and practicing my veganism.
And just, you know, they put really nice things constantly on Facebook and or on Instagram, and just constantly trying to be like, it's like they're trying to tell themselves they're a nice guy.
Yeah.
So that's a bit frustrating.
Think it is kind of deeply ironic that the name of this book is Then It Fell Apart. It's quite something to have that be the title of a book that also ultimately turns into a bit of a catalyst.
The interesting thing though with a book like this that causes controversy,
someone just takes it in awards for good boys.
I feel like with a book like this is that I'm compelled to read it. Like I want to read it because...
Well, I guess that's the thing, because it's one of those books that gets talked about so much, and I guess, you know, you're reading snippets out of context of the whole story. Not saying that's... Again, I'm not defending him. So if you want to really find out what he means, and you can make your own decision.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of structure of the book, because if Porcelain was so detailed, it was a bit longer, and this feels like he's missing out a lot of stuff, which was quite disappointing as a reader for me from liking that earlier book.
Right.
So, because he talks so much about his mum, but it's kind of like he was really poor and everything really sucked and no one liked his music, and then suddenly it was massive.
Right.
And there's no kind of...
Where's the switch?
The descriptions of like, how did his community relate to him after that happened? What did his mum think? It was suddenly like he was poor and then he was rich, and then there was no
about
like
Mick Jagger and like David Bowie and stuff. Like,
yeah, he kind of meets everybody, and he's always like, he's kind of like just the last one at the party.
Right.
Ooh. And would say yes to anything.
Okay.
And, every celebrity you can think of pops up in this book.
Like on the controversy stuff, so you say he's gone quiet. He hasn't said any, like Natalie Portman came out and was like, that's not quite right. And then he just kind of, did he not respond?
He, from what I can remember, because this was last week or the week before, he put this Instagram post, and then he said, he kept posting pictures of them two together. And saying,
it was so weird.
No, we were friends. Well, she was my girlfriend.
The meme that was going around as well was that it was a photo of him and her from around that time when she was obviously like 18 or 19 or something. The look on her face is that look from the meme, which is like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, it's just not, it didn't really help your cause by posting that photo necessarily. So interesting, bit of controversy. Worth reading if you're a Moby fan.
Well, I think so. Because you've got to read Ruby's even say, and then his music. So that is this just
interesting.
And I guess that will play as an album that most people have in their households, or at least was in the cafe that they were working in at the time, or that Blue Sunday, Lazy Sundays compilation CD. It's a time. But
it is a time.
I do encourage people to read Porcelain because
that was really good.
So good. And if you really want to, like, if you I mean, it's the same as The Dirt by this in the early 2000s or the 90s. And then you think, now, yeah. Getting a book in 2010, thinking it that feral. But I guess he's just laid it all out there. He told the truth.
Whatever truth might be. Yeah.
And now
some people
are
responding with their truths.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, if you have someone in your life who's like one of those people that just wants to read a feral memoir. Yeah. They'd probably like it. Because it's one of those things where you can constantly say, oh, and then he had this interaction with this person. And
speaking of that, we've got an Andre 3000, a Frank Ocean song featuring Andre 3000 lined up. Why have we picked an Andre 3000 song, Jenna?
There's a great scene in the book because I don't know if you remember with Moby, is that he's like really big and everyone loved him, and then there was just like kind of everyone just started hating on him, and it was around the same time that Eminem wrote a song about him. He had a beef with Eminem, and after an award ceremony he came up to Andre 3000 and was like, hey man, do you still want to do a collab? And Andre 3000 was like, everyone's hating on you right now, Moby. I don't think it's a very good idea.
Oh dear.
I love that he was just so upfront about it. He was like, no, not the time.
Not right now. So people can pick this up from Time Out if they want.
If you want to. If you want to. Got it.
Or you can go in and have a chat to Jenna about it. I'm sure she'll have more hot takes to share on that one as well. Thank you for bringing it up, Moby. Then It Fell Apart. You can Google as well. There's lots of articles about the controversy.
I just did a quick Google, and he did apologise to Natalie Portman for not giving her a heads up about the book
before
it came out.
I mean, that's pretty...
Well, that's good. That's good,
but
at least.
But I mean, so at least he acknowledged that was, like, not the right thing to do.
God. Well, thank you, Jenna. Thanks for bringing it up this morning.
That was Loose Reads.
And as promised...